tonight we are going to talk about your love life. And yes, this applies to 6th grade through 12th grade. And I guarantee you right now, at this very moment, is just watching each and every one of you smile and giggle and laugh, and especially the girls, get this look in their eye. It's not the love life that you think I'm going to talk about. Okay? So guys, you can take a deep breath now. 6th grade guys especially, you can take a deep breath now and go, golly, I'm thankful we ain't having to listen to that garbage. Okay? Because I'm not going to talk to you about the love life that you think that I'm going to talk to you about. All right? But we are going to talk about tonight your love life. All right? So what I want to do, if you want, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you have your Bible with you. I'm still sorry, I don't have them for you on the screen. I'll work on that, I promise. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just, you know, right off the top there, right off the bat, can anybody tell me what that chapter is considered? The love chapter, right? Everybody's going, love is patient, love is kind. All right? Here's the deal. We're going to start off by reading that, and I'm going to just read through it real quick, and then after I do that, I'm going to kind of back up just a little bit, and I want to throw a couple of things at you, okay? But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, it says, if I could speak in all languages of the earth and of the angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could not, or that I could move mountains, yeah, that would mess it up, that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, and some translations say allowed my body to be burned, I could boast about it, maybe if you weren't burned to death, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would gain nothing. All right? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8 says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Then I want you just to skip down to verse 13. And it says, three things will last forever. Faith. I want to talk to you just a little bit about your love life, okay? I want to talk to you just a little bit about love. I want you to know, as I started doing all these different things, I was like, thought I'd be kind of funny, and I would go through and try to kind of look at verses and things and kind of count these things, you know, and see how many times maybe love was in this chapter or in that or whatever. But it kind of got overwhelming because there were so many verses that had the word love in them, and not just relating to God loves us, or God sent His Son because He loved us, or so forth and so on, but directly relating to how we should treat others, okay? How we should love others. For those of you that were Disciple Now, I'm just curious again, I'm going to ask tonight just because I want to. If you came to Disciple Now, raise your hand. Okay, very good. Woo! All right. I hope you're still getting out of the box. Anyhow, here's the deal, okay? Here's the deal. Do y'all remember I referenced a couple of different times in some different things that we, material and things that we hand out, that we handed out to you, okay? Can anybody help me? It was just, I always just kind of added it down at the bottom. Can anybody help me? Love wins. Thank you, Malia. All right? Love wins. Love wins. All right? Now, you sit back. And I hope you asked yourself over the weekend, and maybe if you've seen it a couple of times since then or whatever, I hope you've asked yourself, well, what does he mean by that? Love wins. You know? What does it mean when the scripture says that we're supposed to love? You know, what does it say? What does it mean when the scripture says that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves? Okay? You know, when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and you start looking at some of these things, let's go back. If you go to the part where it says a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, okay, you can think about the drums, all right, outside of just music. And it would be like me, Caleb, this may not be a good thing, but I'm going to do it anyway. It would be like me coming back here and sitting down because I don't play the drums and just doing this. I mean, that would be really, really annoying, right? So, I really don't play the drums, okay? Here's the deal, all right? Here's the deal. If your life is like that because you don't have love, because you are full of knowledge, because you're really, really smart, because you have a super strength, guys, because whatever it is, girls, sorry, maybe some of you have super strength, all right? Whatever it may be, okay? It's great. There may be somebody in here right now that, you know, you can go and you could speak Spanish to when you go to the Mexican restaurant. You might be able to go down to Shogun or whatever and speak Japanese to one of the guys down there, you know, whatever. You might be able to go to the little Thai restaurant down here in downtown Kennesaw and be able to speak Taiwanese to the whatever. Anyhow, Thai, okay? Whatever it may be, okay? Here's the deal. You might be able to go and you might be able to speak 5-6 different languages, okay? But if you can't show those people love, if you can't show those people just because of who they are love, then it's no good. It makes no difference if you can speak their language. So, annoying. Noisy gong or clanging cymbal. How long could I continue to do that before it would just absolutely get on your nerves and you'd say, man, I'm out of here. 2 seconds. As I watched Erica and Jennifer sit on the front row and immediately start doing this. So anyhow, we go down a little bit further. And just like I said, it comes in here. It says, you possess all the knowledge, and if you had such faith that you could move mountains. Let's just say that you had a whole bunch more faith than a mustard seed. Like the scripture says, is all we have to have to accomplish great things. Let's say you just got tons of faith. Let's say you've got so much faith that you've actually prayed for people and seen immediate results through your prayers, but you don't have love. Well, here's the thing. There's an aspect about this that I want you to catch tonight. And I'm going to tell you in just a second. So I want you to hang on to that. I want you to think about, all right, having the ability to have faith to pray for people and have things happen in people's lives. Be able to sit down and give people great insight and great wisdom as you meet with your friends and you talk with your friends and all these different things. People, whoever it is, people in your school, you know, they may not even know who you are, but yet they say, you know what, I'm going to go see Amelia because she's just really smart. And she's going to be able to give me insight and wisdom about this situation. But she didn't have love, what difference would it make? Okay? Now, I want y'all to keep thinking about that because I'm going to throw something at you in just a minute that you probably have never thought about. And maybe you have. And if you have, I'll be really impressed. It goes down to say a little bit further. It says, if I gave everything that I have to the poor, and maybe even I sacrificed my body. Well, and here's where I'm going to tell you, so I want you to listen really close. You sacrificed your body. Let's just say tonight, all right? Let's say you're sitting down there at Wade Green and 75, all right? And you see this person on the side of the road, their car's broke down, and all of a sudden you see a 5-year-old kid get out of the car while they're trying to work on the car and all this stuff, and they're like running out into the middle of 75. Hang with me. And you see tractor trailers coming, you see all these cars coming, you see all these different things that are fixing to happen, and you're seeing this kid start to run out across the road. And in an instant, you go running out to save that kid and sacrifice yourself by grabbing that kid and throwing him out of the way. What drove you to do that was love. And exactly what this is talking about is if you don't have love, you're not going to throw yourself out there to be sacrificed. You're not going to allow your body to be burned. You're not going to willingly put yourself in harm's way for somebody else. You're not going to want to sit and have a conversation with somebody who you know has tons of wisdom and tons of knowledge and tons of insight, because you're not going to care. That's what it's saying. And here's the other side of it. We can go back over and look at this top part of these first verses, first four verses in this. And this is what it's saying to you. It's saying it doesn't matter how much wisdom, how much knowledge, how much sacrifice, how wealthy you are, how much faith you have. Because what is going to drive you to do those things, to offer that wisdom, to offer that sacrifice, what's going to drive you and push you to do those things is love. That knowledge, that strength, that wisdom, that faith, all those things are worthless without love, because there's going to be no purpose, no concern, no anything for why you would even want to offer that to somebody. So without love, it doesn't matter what you got. It's not going to mean a thing. It's not going to make a difference, because you're not going to care. Love is what drives all of us, every single one of us. Love is what pushes us forward. Now, just a side note about love, okay? The kind of love you thought I was going to go to tonight, okay? Oh, boy. All right? Here's the deal. It works the same way. When you get into relationships, when you get into a marriage, if you haven't got love, you hadn't got anything. And let me go ahead and tell you something Kara and I have referenced to and have referred to over and over and over before we were married and then once we got married. We were sitting in a chapel one weekday in school, and one of our professor's wives was speaking. And Mrs. Camacho says, "You know, when Hector and I were dating, it was love, love, love." Listen real close. "But once we got married, it was work, work, work." Now, you can look at that two ways. You can look at that and go, "Well, man, if it's work, I don't want to have nothing to do with it." But guess what? You got to work at it. You got to work at love. You got to work at that relationship with that person. You've got to work at that relationship with your friends. Love, I'm going to give you another word for love, is acceptance. And acceptance and love go together. And the reason that they go together is because when you take those two things, if you can't accept somebody for where they are, how they are, and what they are, then you can't love them. Love is what drives you. Love is what drives your relationships. Love is what drives your friendships. Love is what drives you. And without it, you're going to shrivel up and die. Love is what drives you. Don't forget it. Love wins. Love wins. Even when you don't think you're winning. Even when you don't think it is possible for when a situation comes your way with another person, a situation, whatever it may be, love wins out. Guys, I've done some things in my past that I'm ashamed of. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. If I could go back, there are things that if I could go back, I would change. There are things even to this day that I have done, and after I've done those things and I've said those things and I've acted out in those ways, whatever those things were. I mean, I laughed not too long ago about a situation of something that happened with me in high school with somebody. I was telling them about something and I was laughing about it, and I was talking about how I humiliated somebody. There was no love in that. Is it a funny story? Yeah. It's a really funny story. Did I win? Depends on how you look at it. But I humiliated somebody. And I intentionally did what I did to humiliate that person. And there was no love in that. God tells us to turn the other cheek. That's a tough thing. It's a very tough thing. The Scripture is very clear where it tells us that if somebody strikes us on this cheek, to give them the other one. The Scripture tells us that if somebody asks for the shirt on our back, for our cloak, give it to them. That's tough. I want you to close your eyes. I want you just to sit for just a second. And I want you to think about something. And as you've got your eyes closed, I want you to think about that last image that you saw up on the screen of that painting of Jesus. Just close your eyes just for a minute. He's had his beard pulled out. He's been slapped. He's been punched. He's had his hair pulled out. He's had a crown of thorns placed onto his head. And now he's carrying this huge cross. His people are shouting and they're yelling. They're making fun of him. They're spitting on him. I want you to think about that. As you've got your eyes closed, I just want you to picture that face. Because you know what? The Scripture makes it very clear to us that Jesus did not retaliate. Jesus didn't offer a harsh word. He was silent. Love wins. Open your eyes. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. It started with love. And out of love, things were created. Out of the desire to have a relationship, a friendship, a bond, whatever words you want to put with it, everything was created. A series of events happened. And then out of love, God sent His Son Jesus. And because of that love, we can have a friendship. We can have a relationship, a direct friendship, a direct relationship. A relationship of love and of compassion, of wisdom, of peace. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is in the middle. It says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or a sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Now I want you to hold on, because here's the other side of it. Not only are we supposed to love one another, not only are we supposed to love our neighbor, who may not love us, who we may have a beef with, whatever it may be. Here's the situation I want you to understand. The world's eyes are on the church, and they look at us, and they watch us, and they see how we destroy our own. And we want to judge, and we want to criticize love. We have got to love. Despite whatever the circumstance may be, despite whatever the problem may be, despite whatever it is, we are to love. How often do you walk through your school and you see that person and you just don't care? I just really don't care about them. They might have looked at me the wrong way. I don't even care about them. They don't dress like I do. And don't you dare tell me that that doesn't matter. How many times I'm going to step on your toes and I don't mind? How many times, and I'm going to go ahead and say this word because it's going to make you feel really uncomfortable. And at this point, I want you to feel uncomfortable because I want to make the point. How many times have you been walking down your hallway at school and you see the retarded kid? Cody, Caleb, I'm going to pick on y'all just for a minute, okay? Because I know y'all know what I'm talking about. How many times have you seen somebody laugh at your brother and it just frustrates the snot out of you? There's no love in that. There's no compassion and there's no understanding in that. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not easy. It's not easy loving somebody that makes us feel uncomfortable. Let me tell you one last story. And then I got one thing I'm going to get you to pick up as you walk out. I'm going to explain it to you. And then we're going to be done. I'm going to tell you one last story. My brother died 2 years ago at the age of 42. He died of a massive heart attack that was induced by diabetes. My brother attended church, went to church, was a part of church, finally went to a summer camp one year, had an experience just like what many of you have had the opportunity to have and what you'll have again this summer. Except he went that year and the experience he had was that he found Jesus. And he came home and he told Mom and Dad about it. He told his youth pastor about it. But my brother was one of these guys that just always was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was just one of these guys that was just, trouble found him. From the time he was a little guy all the way up until he died. But he was a guy that had an incredible heart. He was one of those guys that if you said, hey, Kent, man, I need that shirt off your back, he'd give it to you. Did he have other issues? Yeah, we all did. We all do. But here's the reason I'm telling you this story. And this is why this topic for me is one that I care so much about. And this is why I care so much about the leaders that are here to work with you and to help you and to support this ministry. Because what happened not too far after that, Kent was at church. He had been saved. He was on the right path. He was on the right track. Just boys being boys. Some things got out of hand at church. A couple of things happened. Unfortunately, Kent that night was really and truly not even a part of what happened. But there was one particular leader that just kind of had it out for Kent. Could not find it in his heart just to love him for who he was. Blamed Kent, criticized Kent in front of people. Made sure that he was miserable when he was at church. And Kent finally said, you know what? I don't care if I ever go back. I'll never set foot in another church again. I quit. Now, was Kent wrong in the fact that he just needed to deal with and get past that? Yeah. Is it something that he could have worked through? Yes. But was there also a mistake on the part of that leader who pushed and pushed and pushed until he just drove a kid away? Yeah. Love wins. I hated the fact that when my brother died, because of, unfortunately, that situation, that my parents still harbor the guilt of thinking that they did something wrong. They loved my brother. They still love my brother. But they carry a heavy burden on their shoulders. I'll never forget the day that my mom and dad, that we put my brother in the ground, that my mom and dad came to me and they said, what do you think? We're really struggling. Where's he at? And let me just tell you, that's one of the most hard conversations that I've ever had with my parents. Because quite frankly, I don't know. Did Kent come home that summer camp and say, I've accepted Jesus into my life? I've asked him to save me and forgive me of my sins? Yeah. Do I believe because of what I know happened to him that he was saved? And then he strayed from that path? Yes, I do. But it's not for me to decide whether it was genuine or not. As frustrating as it is or was, and Carol will tell you, my brother and I mean, literally, at times came to blows in our relationship. Literally, physically came to blows. But love seemed to always prevail. It never seemed to fail when Kent needed me. When Kent would make a phone call, when he would, you know, I'm struggling with this. When he got divorced and found out he had cancer, which he was ended up being a survivor of, he called me. And he said, man, I know you got to go to work early in the morning, but could you drive down here to the hospital and see me? I just need you to come pray with me. Love always won out. Tonight, what I want you to do, we're going to pray, and then as you leave tonight, again, back in the back, Joey's holding them. There's this sheet of paper. They're on yellow sheets of paper. And it looks like this. It gives you some instructions, but I'm going to challenge you to pick it up, take it home. And before you go to bed tonight, I want you to fill it out. I want you to honestly ask yourself. I want you to look at it. The instructions basically tell you to replace love with your name and then to grade yourself off to the side as to how you think you're doing in these areas. So it would be Terry is patient, Terry is kind, Terry rejoices with truth. Well, when truth wins, I'm reading it backwards and stuff. But I want you to be honest. And I really want you to take this test, and I want you to grade yourself on how you think you're doing. And then off to the side, after you put that grade down there, A through F, I want you to write out to the side in ways that you can improve and maybe put a name out beside it. I'm going to pick on you, Erica. Erica is patient with who? You get my point? Father, tonight I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the students, to share with them, to spend some time with them and just to help them to understand where I'm coming from. Father, I pray that in the midst of the muddled up words and the, Father, maybe the miscommunication in certain areas that I may speak or things that I may say, Father, I pray that ultimately they will hear your word, your voice through this. Father, I pray as they walk out those doors tonight that they would truly take a real hard look, Father, at where they are and how they love. Father, take a real good look at their love life. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for who you are and what you are in our life. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.